Now take your Bibles this morning and turn to Matthew chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. This particular chapter draws our attention to the condition of our souls. And I want you to evaluate the soil of your soul. The soil of your soul. You know, Jesus taught a lot of things. He taught a lot of things in parables. And in this 13th chapter, he begins to teach in parables and teaches us a parable about a sower that goes forth to sow. And I'm going to read that parable to you. It's very likely he was right there on the Sea of Galilee, and he was preaching out of a boat. The boat became his pulpit. I mean, he had an audience on the shore, and it wasn't uncommon, it's not only in that day, but also today, that if you're on the shores of Galilee, you'll see a lot of agricultural, you'll see a lot of planting, you'll see a lot of fields, because it's very fertile ground right there near the Sea of Galilee. And it's very likely, especially because of the word "behold" in verse 3, that he was probably pointing to somebody who was out there working the field. Somebody who perhaps had one of those leather pouches full of seed and was going from end to end of that field, from one end of the road to the other, sowing seed. And so a lot of times Jesus used visual aids. He liked teaching in a manner that people could understand. He used very common things to explain uncommon things. He used a lot of difficult things. There are a lot of difficult things that are spiritual, but he would use material things to help explain them. There are a lot of natural things that Jesus would speak of, but he was actually talking about supernatural things. Okay, such is the case with this kind of a parable that Jesus was speaking to us, or speaking to them, and speaking to us today. He was not talking about natural things, he was talking about spiritual things. Spiritual things. And so as we examine this particular parable, there are fundamental principles of agriculture that they were very much familiar with. There were laws and principles concerning sowing and planting and reaping that they were very familiar with. I think most of us are pretty familiar with those today. I have an aerator that I put a couple of cinder blocks on and tied to the back of a four-wheeler and go through my yard every spring and try to sow seed. My grass doesn't grow very well, but most of us are pretty familiar with agriculture to that extent anyway. And so this is a very easy, very simple parable that Jesus taught. And so I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Like I said, he has a large multitude. There's a large crowd. Jesus is preaching. Okay, that's what he's doing here. He's preaching. The preacher of preacher, the master teacher, is teaching and preaching from a pulpit of a ship. And he has a great multitude and audience. We read in verse 1. And he declares this very important parable that I think is not only very popular among Christians and among preachers, because I've preached on this numerous times, but it's a very familiar parable concerning the sower that goes forth to sow. My question to you, in light of this teaching, in light of this sermon that Jesus preached in his day, that continues to be preached in the church even today, in light of this teaching and preaching of Jesus Christ, I want you to evaluate the soil of your soul, the soil of your soul. Behold, a sower went forth to sow. This is verse 3. And when he sowed, some seeds fell on the wayside. Now that's just a path that the end of the row, if you will, where the road was, where people walked. And fowls came and devoured them up. In other words, birds. It was very uncommon for birds to be gathered in those sections of the field because they knew the sower was coming. Some of us have scarecrows in our garden. We know about the birds and what they can do to the crops. And so it was very common for birds to be gathering, waiting to pick up those seeds that fell on the solid, on the firm, on the wayside kind of soil. He went on and said, the fowls came and they devoured them up. They took the seed that fell upon this kind of ground. Some fell on stony places where they had not much earth, and therefore they sprang up. Okay, they fell on stony places. There obviously were stony ground or stones in the ground, and the seeds fell there, and they did spring up, but because there was no deepness of the earth, there wasn't enough room for the roots to go deep and take root. He says, when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Okay, so we have these seeds that fell in the stony ground. They came up for a little while, and then the sun came out and it scorched them, and they died. They died. Verse 7, some fell among the thorns. Now, this would be weeds. We're very familiar with weeds in our yard and weeds in our garden or thorns. Some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. Choked them. But other fell in good ground. Everybody say good ground. Some of the seed fell on good ground, okay, and brought forth fruit. Some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. I guess he was referring to the kind of ground that it fell in. There's some ground that's better than others. Some that's got some manure in it, or got has fertilizer in it, and it came up a little better than places that did not. Verse 9. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now he's talking about spiritual things, and a lot of times the disciples didn't understand what he was talking about, so he would explain that to them. And we have the explanation, the commentary on this particular parable, beginning in verse 18. He says, now hear, in other words, let me explain to you. There's a brief interlude, but then he goes on in verse 18 of the 13th chapter of Matthew, and he says, let me explain to you the parable of the sower. Okay? Now, there's a lot in verse 19, a lot found in verse 19 that explains about this parable. Now, let me begin reading in verse 18. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone, everybody say anyone. Anyone can be the sower, okay? When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom, okay? Anyone that heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. Everybody say, in his heart. Okay. In his heart. This is he which receiveth the seed by the wayside. But he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and is excited, it's an obsolete word in our English, but he's excited, and with joy he receives it, yet when hath he not root in himself, but endureth for a while, for when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth the seed, and we're talking about receiving the seed into our souls being the soil. There are three aspects of this parable that's very obvious. The sower, the seed, and the soil. Okay? The sower, the seed, and the soil. There are three categories. The sower, the seed, and the soil. He also received the seed among the thorns. Is he that heareth the word. What kind of word? The word of the kingdom. And I'll get back to that in a moment. That he talked about in verse 19. Somebody who's sowing the seed is somebody who's sowing the word of the kingdom. How to get in the kingdom of God. Okay, that's what he's sowing. How to be saved, all right? That's what he's sowing. The place he's trying to plant it is the soul or the heart. We noticed in verse 19, he's sowing it. And he's trying to sow it in the heart, in the inner man, the core of a person. He's trying to get it past the head, past the ears, into the very soul. That's where the Word of God needs to be planted. That's what he's trying to do. But there's stuff in there. There's stuff, okay, in your soul, the soil of your soul. Some of the soil is like the wayside, is like the trampled down paths that men have come through the fields, and they have trampled the soil down, and the seed falls there, and Satan suddenly comes and steals it away. Some have rocks, I mean boulders. I mean, yes, the seed is sown there. They get a little bit excited about being saved or maybe going to heaven, but they're offended by the Word of God and by the words of Jesus Christ. When tribulation comes, they don't hold on, they don't hold out, and they are soon offended and they go away. Now we're talking about weeds. Weeds of the world, okay? I want you to get the understand this teaching, okay? He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word. Everybody say he hears the word, okay? There's no problem with the sower, and there's not a problem with the seed. The problem is with the soil. He hears the word. Okay, anyone, we notice in verse 19, anyone can be a sower. All they've got to do is convey to people how to get into the kingdom of God. I mean, you can't get into the kingdom of God unless you repent of your sins and put faith in Jesus Christ. I mean, the seed, in a sense, is Christ, right? I mean, Christ has to be in you and in your heart. We have a lot of people today that have Christ in their head, but they don't have Jesus in their heart. People need the Word to go past their minds and past their ears, and it needs to penetrate the heart. Paul said on one occasion when he was writing to the church at Corinth, he said, if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. See, that's where it needs to take place. In order for you to know that you're going into God's kingdom, in order for you to know that you're in the kingdom of Christ, you must be born again. I mean, only those that are born again enter the kingdom of God. Amen. John chapter 3, that's what Jesus told Nicodemus. You can't get into the kingdom of God unless you're born from above. So that's what we're talking about. Anyone who's conveying the message, anyone who's communicating the message about being saved and about being born again, about getting into the kingdom of God, he's a sower. And folks, we need to be sowing this precious seed of the gospel. Got a little ahead of myself. He said, the seed is among the thorns, and he is one who hears the word, verse 22, and the cares of this world. Folks, listen to me. The world can mess you up. It can mess you up not only carnally, not only in a physical way, but it'll mess you up in a spiritual way. We war against the world. There are a lot of people that are holding on to the world. They can't let go of the world. John said, he that loveth the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen? You can't hold on to the world and be saved. We have a lot of worldly Christians out there. Okay, but they're the ones who have a lot of stones in their soil, stones in their soul. Okay, they're stony souls. That's what they are. Oh, they're very excited about the things of God until they have to stand up for some deep doctrinal principle that's found in the Word of God, or try to stand up, or they have to stand up for some teaching or principle of Jesus Christ. They go away like many disciples went away after hearing the doctrines of Jesus. They go away today. The world, what does the world do? He talks about the world choking the gospel. That's what we're declaring. We're preaching and teaching the gospel. Anyone can tell people the gospel that's been to the fountain and drank of the living water. Anybody that's been there and gotten the bread of life can tell others how to find bread. Amen. That's what evangelism is. It's one beggar telling another beggar where he can find bread. Amen. Yes, that's what we're doing. We're sharing with the world how they can get into the kingdom of God through the Lord Jesus Christ by turning from their sins and putting faith in Jesus to the saving of their soul. They can experience the washing and cleansing of the blood where they can go into the kingdom of righteousness that Jesus has established. All right, so the world, the deceitfulness of riches, what does it do? It chokes the word. And he becometh unfruitful. Verse 23. Oh, but here's the good soil. See, what we're talking about here, it's very obvious. Notice, the seed, the word of God, the gospel of the kingdom, it could fall on four different places. Four different conditions that a soul is in. And four different circumstances or scenarios regarding the condition or the soil of one's soul. And he says, oh, but there are those that receive the seed into good ground. Everybody say good ground. Good ground. You know, it falls upon good ground, a good heart. A good soul, a soul that's ripe and ready for salvation. Amen. He talks about the soul that has good ground. And he is the one that he hears the word and he understands it. Now, I'll get back to that in a minute. Which also beareth fruit and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. All right. So what have we learned in this parable? Well, first of all, we have learned that there are three components. There's the sower, the seed, and the soil. What else have we learned about this particular parable? Well, we've also learned that there are four conditions of man's soul. He either is a soul that has paths on it, he's hard-hearted, and he's difficult to reach. He doesn't understand. He doesn't want to understand. He tries to explain it away. He tries to procrastinate and push the gospel away. He is one who has a stony, a hard-hearted, a wayside heart. And the birds come, or Satan comes, and he doesn't let it lay there very long. He comes and steals it away. Then we have one who just is very excited about things, you know, but really Christianity is only skin deep to them. It doesn't go all the way down into their heart and into their soul. We also have one here who has weeds. Many things of the world have flooded out the gospel when it comes to those that have weeds and those that have thorns and the cares of this life. So it's obvious that there are four conditions. Concerning the souls of men. The question is, as you evaluate your own soul, would you say that your soul is a soul that has that's made up of good soil? Good soil. Do you have good soil in your soul? All right, let's return just for a minute to verse 19. It is extremely important that people understand how to get into the kingdom of God. That's what the sower does. I mean, that is the seed. He says specifically here that the message is about the kingdom of God. We are inviting people to come into God's kingdom. That's what a sower does. He goes forth and he invites people to come in to the kingdom of God, to leave the kingdom of darkness and come into the kingdom of light. That's what the message is. That's what the gospel message is. That through the blood of Jesus, there can be a transformation to take place inside of you where you are translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. In Colossians chapter 1 and verse 13, it talks about that. It talks about the power of darkness. It talks about the translation into the kingdom of His dear Son. Listen, folks, you can't be translated into the kingdom of His dear Son unless you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ. You can't be saved unless you put faith in Jesus Christ to be your Savior. Now, folks, listen to me. When you put your faith and your trust in Jesus Christ, I'm talking about saving faith, it requires the total surrenderance of your heart. The total surrenderance of your heart. Now, all of us that have been saved, I mean, there's a time and a place where we came to the end of ourselves and we looked on Him whom we pierced and we trusted Him to be our Savior. Folks, when you do that, something happens deep inside of you that lets you know that your sins are washed away. Washed away! That you're no longer a child of the devil, but suddenly you're a child of God. Now, we talk about a time and place around here because we can always go back to some time or place when it happened. There's a new beginning for us where it all starts, where it all began, where we became the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. Amen? Y'all know about that? Listen, my friend, there are those that are trying to tell us out in the world that you don't need that kind of conversion. There are folks that try to say, well, don't worry about some kind of change occurring inside of you. But the Bible tells us differently, doesn't it? It tells us that when a man comes to Jesus Christ, he is a new creation. All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Amen. He changes our world. He changes our life. I'm telling you, when you surrender your heart and your life unto the Lord Jesus Christ, when you turn from your sins, when you embrace the Savior of the world, He's the Savior of the world. And that's what the Savior does. That's what God is doing. He's inviting us into His kingdom. That's why we sow the seed. He's wanting you to put your faith, trust in Jesus Christ. He wants you to become a member of God's kingdom, become a citizen of the kingdom. Wow. We sang this morning the song about the kingdom. We sang a song, you know, about heading to the kingdom, going to the city. Amen. I'm going to that city. I'm bound for that city. Oh, we sang that song this morning. Folks, I'm going to that glorious New Jerusalem, which is the capital city of the kingdom. Let me pause and say this. You don't have to seek the Lord for a long time. You just seek the Lord till you get saved. There's a lot of us here. We didn't seek the Lord a long time. Not for months or years. Folks, listen to me. When you surrender your heart and you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. That works. But I want to take as many people with me to that kingdom as I possibly can. And I especially want to take my loved ones with me. Amen. Kids and grandkids, and yeah, don't I have some beautiful grandkids? I'll tell you what, I really don't care what they do in life. As long as they find the Lord, they serve the Lord, they become citizens of the heavenly kingdom, that they know Him in the free pardon of sin. I want them to hear the good news about the kingdom, that God is inviting them into His kingdom, that Jesus died on the cross of Calvary, shed His precious blood, that they can be saved and enter the kingdom of God. I want to hear that message. That's good news. Isn't it good news? Good news. Good news. That's what the seed is. The seed's good news. Good news. I don't know if y'all heard my son-in-law preaching this morning, an old-fashioned gospel hour. He's preaching the good news. And we all need to be preaching the good news. We need to be sowing the precious seed. Tell others about this glorious kingdom that they can go into. Oh, time's getting away from me. Anybody that speaks concerning the entrance into the kingdom of God is a sower. Parents, you need to be sowing the good seed in your children's soil other souls. Amen? The soil of their souls. That's what I want to say. You need to sow it in your children. We need to sow it in the schools of Gallatin and Hendersonville and Nashville. We need to sow the seed everywhere we go. We need to sow it with our neighbors and our friends and our loved ones. We need to tell them they need to get into the kingdom of God. That if they don't come out of the kingdom of darkness, there's going to be destruction and hell. They're going to be thrown into the abyss. But praise God, there's good news. Jesus came to save them. Deliver them from their sins, that they can go into the kingdom of God. Anyone and everyone that speaks about the entrance into God's kingdom through faith in Jesus Christ, in my estimation, is a sower of the seed. A sower of the seed. It's not just the preacher. I should have got amen. I mean, the seed is telling people how to enter the kingdom of God. We know how to do that. We've entered ourselves. And one beggar can tell another beggar where to find bread. You know, sometimes we talk about this sower. He's got to be eloquent and he's got to be... I really don't think that's necessary. You know what? If I was out sowing seed, little Lila, who's 3, she'd be right up behind me, and she's like, I want to do that too. And I'd get her, I'd probably make her some little leather pouch, and I'd put some seed in it, and she could follow behind me. I mean, that's what our children do. They want to do what we do. They don't want to be like a preacher. They want to be like you. Okay? And she'd walk behind me, and she'd take that seed, and she'd probably throw it up in the air and get it all in her hair, and she'd probably get it all over me too. Probably go down the back of her shirt and my shirt too. But folks, it doesn't matter who's doing the sowing. It's the condition of the soil. That little hand that can't hold very much. You know how little kids' hands are? They just, you know, spill it everywhere. You give her 10 M&Ms and 5 of them on the floor. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Oh, come on. But if that seed falls on good ground, it will bring forth fruit. It's not about the sower. There's nothing wrong. The sower can just be okay. It doesn't matter. It's the seed, and the seed is good. The problem is the soil. The problem is the soil. Listen, folks, Jesus went all over Galilee, went all over Palestine, and he spread the precious seed of the gospel. But the problem was with the Jews, it fell on unstable, stony, hard ground. And it brought forth no fruit. I tell you what, I'm going to close right here. This thing is dealing with the condition of your soul. Now, let me just, I wish I could get to all of this. I can't. I can't. But I understand about the wayside, the paths. You know, the fields in that day, most of them, they couldn't afford fencing. They couldn't go down here to Lowe's and buy fencing to put around their fields. You know, they couldn't put chicken wire all the way around it. Chicken wire. No, they were open. And many times in larger fields, if there was one location or town that was in direct opposite of the other town across a field, they would make a path. People would make a path and go from one destination to another right across the field. They would just make a path right through the field. Okay? They didn't go around the field. There was no fencing to keep them out. And listen, folks, there's nothing to keep the world out of our souls unless we put our own barriers up. We put our own filters up. We need to put up our own gates. We need to guard the souls of our heart. We need to protect them and keep them from being destroyed by the ideologies and the philosophies of this world. Things that destroy the possibility for the seed to get into good ground, take root, and be fruitful. Now, Dale, go ahead and get a song. The God of this world has blinded the minds, lest the light of the information of the glorious gospel should get into your heart. Go ahead, Dale, get a song. I want you to stand. I want you to listen to me just for a few more minutes. I want you to evaluate the soil of your soul this morning. You know, I've met people. I'll never forget when I was when I worked public work, there was a guy that I got to know who believed in reincarnation. I'll never forget this guy. I'm like, really? You think you could come back a bug or a cow or something? And yes, yes, yes. He had all these false teachings, and false religion will create a path to keep the gospel from penetrating the soul. It will. That's why we have to be clear about people getting saved. How they get saved. That it's repentance and faith. That they'll experience regeneration. We try to make it as clear as we possibly can. We tell people, just like Jesus told people, that they must be born again. We try to make it as clear as possible, don't we? Because there's false ideologies and teachings and religions out there telling people you can live a good life and you'll be okay. That's false. That's false. It's not of works of righteousness that we have done. It's not by works that we're saved. It's by grace. By grace through faith you're saved. That not of yourself. Listen, salvation is by divine accomplishment. And many times there are things that we're exposed to. And that's what these paths are, if you will, in our souls. Things we're exposed to. And let me say this to parents. This is very important. You need to try to protect your children from being overly exposed to the ills of the world. Because the things of this world, too much exposure. I'm talking about too much evil, too much wicked exposure to their souls can mess them up. I even believe you need to protect them even from church stuff. I think that we need to just, you know, until they're mature enough to handle things, they don't need to know things, right? They need to be mature, you know, mature physically, emotionally, spiritually. I mean, they need to be mature to handle certain things. But things can happen in you. Circumstances and situations can happen in your life that has caused the soil of your soul to become hard. Hard, unpenetrable. The gospel won't get in because of these circumstances and situations and false notions and ideologies and thinking you're okay when you're really not. I mean, all those things, the lies of the devil, I mean, they're very rampant in our world and they can wreak havoc of our souls. And listen, my friend, I want you to evaluate the soil of your soul. Do you look inside and do you see it to be good ground? Receptive to the word of the gospel. Receptive to the good news that you can be saved this morning. Receptive to the invitation to come into God's kingdom. Listen, as we sing this song, I want you to use eyes of self-examination. I want you to look out over the field of your soul and examine your soil. See if it's good ground. Is it broken up? You know, our souls have to be broken up. The soil of our souls have to be broken up by the power of the Holy Spirit. By conviction. I mean, the conviction of sin is what turns the soil, right? I can't make the soil ready. The Holy Spirit has to do that. And He does that. And there's somebody here this morning that's just on the edge of their seat and they're ready. I mean, they're ready. They're ready to come into God's kingdom. They're ready to be saved. They're ready to put their faith in Jesus Christ. And so I'm going to ask you to come to the altar. Call upon the Lord. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The only way you can be saved is to believe with all of your heart. All of your heart. Put your faith in Jesus. Go away from here a child of the King. Amen. Child of the King in His kingdom. As we sing, are you here today? You've never been saved. Look at your soul. How is it? Is it hard-hearted? Are there a bunch of rocks there that need to be removed? I'm telling you, there's the power of God. And if you will come to God and His holiness and His righteousness, He will remove the rubble from your life. He'll remove the rubble from your soul. He will. He will. He'll make that soul good ground. Amen. and your life will be fruitful. I'm talking about the blessings of the kingdom. Go ahead and start singing. I'm talking about the blessings of God that are in Christ Jesus. I'm talking about peace and joy and happiness. I'm talking about everlasting life through the blood of Jesus. Come to this altar this morning. Bow on bent knee. Call on the Lord and be saved today. For it's eternally too late.